give you those an opportunity to get to your Bibles. And he says, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, and the priest of Midian. And he led his flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why this bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw him turn aside to see, God called him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. And he said, draw near to me, put your shoes off of your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the Lord your God, the father of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by the reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I have come down to deliver them out of the hands of Egypt, and to bring them out into the land of the land, and a great unto the land of flowing with milk and honey, unto a place of the Canaanite, and the Hittite, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherein the Egyptian oppressed them. Come now therefore, and I will send you unto Pharaoh, that you should bring forth the people out of the land of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And then I'll jump to chapter 4, verse 1. And Moses answered and said, behold, they will not believe me, neither hearken unto my voice, if I will say, the Lord appeared unto me. And the Lord said to Moses, what is that in your hand? And he said, a rod. And the Lord said, cast it down to the ground. And he cast it down, and behold, it became a serpent. And Moses fled from it. Father, today we bless you and we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your love. We thank you for your word. Lord, your word is truth. Your word is life. Your word brings strength. It brings encouragement. It lifts up. It energizes. And today I pray that your word will energize us. It will excite us. It will move us. It will motivate us. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, it will show us today who we are and our purpose in you. For your word brings purpose, oh God. And I pray today your word will accomplish the things it was sent to do. It will not return void today. That you will anoint my lips, anoint your word, and bless it to our hearts today, that your name will be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. This morning, for a short while, I want to speak on call with a purpose. Called with a purpose. You know, in my opinion, I believe many Christians or believers are not fruitful in their lives because they think they're not qualified to do what God has called them to do. Many believe they're not qualified or they're not capable to do what God has called them to do because of setbacks, because of disappointment, because of certain situation that happened in the past. They feel that they're not qualified. They feel they cannot accomplish things for God. You know, Abraham, there was a story told about a young man who was a son of a drifter. He worked as a store clerk, and that store failed. Then later on, he joined in partnership in another business, and that also failed. And so this young boy decided that he will venture into a career in politics. He ran for legislature twice and he lost. I would imagine he thought it is time to give up. It is time to do something else. But he continued. He ran for vice president and he lost. But he didn't give up. He continued. and later on, he became the 16th president of the United States. It was Abraham Lincoln. There was another boy who was called a slow learner. He was very slow in school. The teachers recommend that he withdraw from school, that he, because of his inability, because he lacked the skills. And so he went and he tried to get into the schools of Switzerland, but failed the entrance exam. He couldn't get past that stage, you know. And then, you know, after a while, you know, he went and he got a job in the teaching career. And three times he was fired from that job. But at age 26, he won the Nobel Prize. Hallelujah. This was Albert Einstein. Hallelujah. Here was two young men who suffered setback, who suffered roadblocks, if you will, who suffered some difficult moments in their lives because of what they lacked, because of what they couldn't do. But it didn't keep them from pursuing their goal. It didn't keep them from moving ahead. It didn't keep them from accomplishing their purpose was. They went ahead and they did that and they accomplished that. How much more important it is for a child of God to be used, that God can use us in our ability and in our talent to accomplish great things, to become successful. You see, brothers and sisters, today you may have setbacks. We may have some setbacks. We may have some lacks and some maybe lack in our ability and capability, but God can still use us. We are not supposed to look back in our past and don't look at those things that will keep us from pursuing the will and the purpose of God. Don't allow your failures or setback or limitation prevent you from pursuing God's purpose, pursuing God's calling. God can make us successful. Amen. We can accomplish our dreams. Don't look at your limitation. Don't look at the things of the past. I say God can use us. There is no doubt about our purpose in God. There is no doubt. You see, the Bible tells us that everything we know about our calling and our purpose, we have everything, every ability necessarily for God to use us. You see, we are not just an accident. All we need to do is to allow God to touch those areas in our lives, allow God to minister to those areas in our lives that he can use us for his honor and his glory. You see, but because in Christ, we know who we are. In Christ, we find our purpose. In Christ, we know long before the earth was created, God knew us and he formed us and he had a plan for us. You see, it is in Christ that we know who we are. And this morning I want to encourage you that you have a calling in God. You have a purpose in God. The Bible says in everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, everything got started in God. Everything find its purpose in God. And so the Bible says in 1 Colossians 1:16, for by him all things were created in the heavens and in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones and dominions and principality and powers, whether they be all powers, and all things were created by him and for him. And this morning, if you are a child of God, I want you to know that you are created by God for him and for his purpose. There is a high calling for each one of us, and this morning, you are called to a higher purpose. You are called to a higher calling this morning. You have a purpose in God. Moses was about to experience his purpose. He was about to come into his calling. He was about to discover who he really was. He was about to experience that. You see, our purpose is far greater than our achievement. Our purpose in God is far greater than personal achievement, whether in career, whether in business, whether in academics, whether in gathering of wealth. These are all great accomplishments and great things, and we should strive for these things. We should strive to be successful, but it is more than that. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatsoever your hand find to do, do it with might. If you're going to serve God, serve him with all your heart, with all your might, with all your strength, with all your soul, with all your talent, with all your ability that God has given to you. Whatever your hands find to do, do it with might. Today you are a child of God and called by him. We are called by God in spite of our lack, in spite of our weaknesses, in spite of our gender, in spite of our ability and our financial status and our level of education. We are all called to a higher calling in God. Amen. You have a high calling in God this morning, and I just want to remind us about that. We are called for God's purpose, for service in the kingdom of God. Our calling is for service in the kingdom of God, in ministry, in worshiping. The Bible says in Psalms 147, for the Lord is pleased with those that worship him. Hallelujah. You see, worshiping God pleases him. It pleases God. And we are called for worship. We are called to glory for his glory. The Bible tells us in Psalms 149, 149:42, he says, the Lord is pleased with his people. You see, the Lord is pleased with his people. When we come before him and we gather to him, he is pleased. He took us out of darkness into light. We are called for the glory of God, that God can be glorified through the works we do, that God can be glorified in our lives, because he fashioned us and he molded us according to his will and purpose. Brothers and sisters, this morning I want you to know that you are called as a vessel of God. We are called to be God's workmanship, God's handyman. We are called for the master's use. The Bible says, that Paul says, that we are ready and prepared for the master's use. We are called for service in the kingdom of God. So this morning I want to challenge us. Excuse me. I want to challenge us this morning. I want you to be excited about your calling. I want you to know that God has great things in store for you. I want you to know that you're not an accident, that God has brought you into the kingdom for a purpose, that God has placed you here for a purpose, in spite of your weakness, in spite of your inability, in spite of your setback, God can use you. And whatever you have today, if you will give it to God, God is going to use it for his honor and glory. He's going to use you to do great things. He's going to use you for great exploit. All you need to do is to surrender to him today. You need to give him today, and God is going to use that for his honor and his glory today. Hallelujah. The Bible says here in this story, we saw Moses. When he was a child, we saw Pharaoh. The Bible, you know, the story about Moses, you know, when the children of Israel were becoming great, and Pharaoh thought, you know what, they will take over. So all the little children, all the young baby boy, Pharaoh ordered that they will be killed and they will be thrown into the river. But the Bible says his mother kept him after he was born for 3 months. And after that, she couldn't hide him anymore. And she made that basket. The Bible said, and he went down she built that little ark like a basket and sent him down the river. And then he was picked up by Pharaoh's daughter. And the Bible said, and we know that story, how he grew up into Egypt. He became a mighty man in Egypt. He became second to Pharaoh. He had a great career. He had it all in Egypt. But the Bible says the situation changed for Moses. The Bible says one day he saw that the Egyptian was ill-treating one of the Hebrews, and he killed him. And the Bible says when Pharaoh found out, he was upset, he was mad, and so he had to flee because Pharaoh was after him. And the Bible says he went into the backlands of Midian, and there he's looking after his father-in-law sheep. He met his father-in-law, and he was looking after Jethro's sheep there. And the Bible says that while he was looking after Jethro's sheep in the backside of the mountain, the Lord appeared to him in the bush, appeared to him in a fire, and he spoke to Moses. And the Bible says in verse 3 that God says, when Moses saw the fire, he said, I will turn aside and go and see why the bush didn't burn. And the Bible says, and God said to him and called out to him, he says, Moses, Moses. And Moses says, here I am. Here we see the call of God on Moses' life. Here we see where God is calling Moses. We see the first time that God called Moses. It is his purpose. God is about to bring him into his purpose. You see, God wasn't calling him to build a big city anymore. He wasn't calling him to be in Egypt as a great warrior of the Egyptian army. But God was about to use this man, Moses. God had a different plan for him. God had a different purpose for him. God was bringing him into his God-given purpose, why he was born for, why he was protected by God, why he was kept by God all these years in Egypt. When he was there, God was preparing him, and he didn't know. When he went to the mountains and looking after the sheep, God was preparing him in a way that one day he will look after the nation of Israel. Hallelujah. He will bring the children of Israel out of bondage. That's what was God preparing him for, to bring the children of Israel out of bondage so they can get into their promised land. God was preparing Moses for a different task. He was going to be the man that God will use to bring deliverance to his people. He was going to be the hand of deliverance. He was going to be God's man to serve the people. Hallelujah. That he promised the great land to them, that he had a great promise for him. You see, and altogether, things will work good for him. The Bible says in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. You see, our calling always work together for good. Our calling will always work together for good. Amen. And it is our calling that God has called us. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 19:21, many are the plans in the man's heart, but nevertheless, the Lord counsel that will stand. In other words, the Lord purpose will stand. Many of us have different things and different opinion, and maybe we have different mindset and different purpose in life, but it is God's purpose that will stand for us. Amen. It is God's purpose that we will do. Amen. It is God's purpose that will bring us into our place. It is God's purpose, and we have a purpose in God. We have a high calling in God. We are chosen by God this morning. I want you to know that God has called you and chose you. Amen. The Bible says in John 15:16 that you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Hallelujah. And ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruits, and that your fruit should remain. Hallelujah. And whatsoever you ask of the Father, he shall give you. This morning, I want you to know that you are chosen by God. Hallelujah. In spite of who you are, in spite of your fault, in spite of your setback, in spite of your lack of ability, in spite of your rage and disappointment, God has still chosen us. Hallelujah. He know we're going to mess up. He know we will make mistakes. He know that we don't have all the ability and the talent, but he still chooses us. Hallelujah. It is a great thing to be chosen by God. I say we must be excited to be a child of God, to be in the kingdom for such a time as this, because God is the one that chose us. Hallelujah. And we must be excited to that. I'd rather be in the kingdom of God, serving God, than being elsewhere. Amen. It is a privilege to be in the kingdom of God, to be a child of God. In spite of our weakness, in spite of our challenge, you may say, well, I have messed up and I had a bad past, and God can't use me. I am not good. Look at all my mistake. Look at all the things I have done. I can't speak well. I am not educated. I'm not eloquent in speech. I am not a good communicator, but I have news for you. It says it's not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, said the Lord. And when God takes what you have and he mold it together, and the Spirit of the Lord takes it and anoints said, hallelujah, you can do great things for God. You can do mighty things for God. Let not your talent and your lack of ability and your failure keep you back from serving God. The Bible says that our gifts and our calling are without repentance. Hallelujah. We have a calling of God. He has chosen us. Ephesians 1:4 says, He has chosen us before the foundation of the world. Let me tell you something this morning. God knew exactly you will be here today. Hallelujah. He knows that wherever you are today, He knew exactly where you are going to be because He has chosen us. Hallelujah. Before the foundation of the world, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Christ to Himself, according to His good pleasure of His will. Hallelujah. This morning, I want you to know that you are called by God. Paul put it out this way to the Corinthians, to the church in Corinth. He said, for you, see your calling, brethren, how many men after the flesh, not mighty, not noble, are called, hallelujah, but God has chosen the foolish thing of this world to confound the wise. He has taken the weak to confound the mighty. And this morning, I'd rather be a fool in God's house, in God's kingdom with a purpose than to be a mighty man without purpose. I'd rather be a fool of God with purpose rather than be a mighty without purpose or a wise without purpose. I'd rather be a weak in God's house than rather being a strong man that's heading for destruction. Because the Bible says, when I am weak, then I am strong. Because it is God that strengthens us. And that's why you will take the foolish things and to confound the wise. Praise the Lord. This morning, we ought to be us. We ought to be excited about to be in the kingdom. We ought to be excited about to be in the kingdom of God. So let us look. The Bible says how Moses responded to the call of God. How he responded to the call. Regardless, the Bible says the first thing he says in verse 11. When God spoke to him and called him, and he says, Moses, Moses, who I am, for I have seen the affliction of my people. I have seen what all the enemy has done upon them, and my heart moved. I feel for them. I am sorry. I am moved with compassion. And now I have come to deliver them, Moses. I have come to take them out of their misery. I have come to take them out of their bondage. And Moses, you are the man that I'm going to choose. You are the man that I've called. You are the man that I've ordained. You are the man that I prepared from before you were in your mother's womb. Moses, you are the man that will bring them out. You are the man that will deliver them by my hand. I will lead you. I will guide you. I will direct you. I will help you. I will be with you, Moses. You are the man. But then Moses turned to God and he says, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? You see, Moses, he responded to his call in a way of doubting and questioning his capability. He says, who am I? He is questioning his capability and his ability. In other words, he's declaring to God that I am not equal to this task. God, I am not good for this task. I believe that not only that, he was scared. I believe Moses was scared because you remember when he left Egypt, the Bible says he was fearful because Pharaoh was after him. And I believe that he had a fear in his heart to go back there. I believe that he had fear in his heart. I believe not only that he was not capable, he thought, or not equal to the task, but I believe that he had fear. You see, the devil will bring fear to us. He will bring doubt to us to tell you you're not good enough. He will say that you are not good enough. He will say that you're not qualified, and he will put doubt and fear in your heart. He says you have made too many mistakes. Look at all the things you have done. God can use you. He will bring doubt. He will bring your past. God can use you. You see, he will try to disqualify you from serving God's purpose. He will try to disqualify you. You see, Moses was disqualifying himself. He says, I am not eloquent in speech, he says. I am not a good communicator. I am not not a good communicator. And some of us believe that we are not good enough. But I'm here to tell you that you are what you are because God is able to do great things for you. Amen. God is able to, you are created for good works, the Bible says. You are created. I am created for good works. And this morning, whatever your hands touch, you do it with all your might and your strength. Whatever your hands find to do, do it with might. Do it with power, for God, He's going to use you. He's going to bless you. Amen. The Bible tells us a story about a young man named Gideon. The Bible tells us because the children of Israel, when they sinned against God and they did evil, the Bible says that the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Midians. And the Bible says that the children begin to cry to God. And when they cried to God, God heard them and He sent a prophet. He said, go tell the people, I will deliver them and I will bring them out of this bondage and I will set them free. And God says He went down and the angel of the Lord went down and he saw a man there named Gideon in the fields. And the Bible said, threshing his wheat. He was doing some agricultural work. And the Bible says, and then the Bible says that the angel spoke to him and he says, fear not, for the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Hallelujah. You mighty man of valor. This morning, I want you to know that you are a mighty person of valor for God. Maybe in yourselves, we are nothing, but with God, we are somebody. You are mighty with God because greater is He that's in you and He that's in the world. For you have what it takes to be mighty because we have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that lived in us, that dwell in us, for in Him we move and we live and we have our beings that make us mighty, that make us a mighty man and women for Him. Amen. And the Bible says, He said, you mighty man of valor, come today, you will deliver my people. The angel spoke to him and says, you're going to go and deliver the people. The Bible says, in other words, the Lord is speaking to him and He said, I've called you to go and deliver the people. And he's Gideon turned around and he said, he's about to disqualify himself, like many of us. When we're asked to do something, we said, ah, we can't do that. Pastor asked us to do something. Oh, we can't do that. I don't think I can do that. I don't think I can pray. I don't think I can worship. I don't think I can sing. I don't think I can witness. I don't think so. But brothers and sisters, it is not by might nor by power, but by God's Spirit. Amen. Whatever you have, you give it to God, and God will use it. God will bless it. Amen. And He will do great things for it. And He will do great things for you. Amen. You see, the Bible says that this man Gideon said, my father is poor, and I'm the least among my father's house. You see, here is a man. God is speaking to him. And he is now questioning his ability. He's questioning his purpose. He's questioning the call of God upon his life. And sometimes the enemy brings those things to us. He brings fear, he brings lies. But we are children of God, created by Him for His purpose. And God says, I'm going to use you, Gideon. And we know the story. God used him to bring deliverance. You see, because he was obedient, he was obedient. He asked for different things. He asked for signs, but then God used him. This morning, God can use you. God can use you for great things. God can use you in His kingdom. He can use you no matter who you are. It doesn't matter of your ability. It doesn't matter of your talent. God can take it, that limitation you have, and multiply it for His glory and His honor. He can multiply it for His glory and His honor. The Bible tells us about David. He didn't allow King Saul. You remember the story when the Goliath came to war against them. And King Saul began to tell him that you are just a young boy. You can't go up against this great giant. You can't fight him. You are just a young boy. You're just taking care of sheep in the pasture. And David, instead of being fearful, instead of giving in, what he did, He began to relay his resume. Hallelujah. He put forth his resume. He said, I am a child of God. I went and I was taking care of the sheep. And when a lion came and a bear came, I fought them. I rent them. And I took that lamb away from them. Here he was showing that he's not just afraid. He's not just incapable. But he knew that God was upon his life. He knew that he had anointing. He knew that what he is doing is not in his own will. It is not in his own power. It is not in his own strength. He knew that God was with him. Hallelujah. He did not allow others to keep him back from pursuing his goal. He did not allow King Saul to disqualify him, to discourage him. Amen. This morning, I want to encourage you. Don't be discouraged, or don't allow anyone to discourage you from pursuing your calling in God, from pursuing your goal in God, for pursuing your dreams. Amen. God will do miraculous things. And the Bible says, the third thing God says to Moses, what is that in your hand? After Moses had all these objections, had all these doubts, has all these excuses, God said, Moses, come on, Moses. This is me. This is God, your creator. You can do all things through me who strengthen you, Moses. You can do all things through Christ who strengthen us today. And God says, Moses, what is that in your hand? And Moses said, a rod. And God says to throw it down. Just throw down that rod, Moses. Just throw down that rod. You see, brothers and sisters, whatever you have in your hands, whatever ability you have, whatever talent you have, when you give it to God, God will use it miraculously. God will use it to accomplish your goal. God will use it to accomplish the purpose in him. He will use it, amen, to accomplish what he has called you to do. Anything you got, if you give it to God, God will use it for his honor and glory. God will use anything as long as you give it to him, whatever you have, for his honor and glory. Educated or not, rich or poor, old or young, good looking or not, like Pastor Richard, skinny or not, like Brother Ken or myself, hair or no hair, like Brother Raj and me, God will use us, amen. I say God will use us. I say God will take whatever you have. Hallelujah. He will take your looks and he will polish it up. And he will make you something great for him. He will take that ability and that talent. Whatever it is, he will take it and use it for his honor and glory. God asked Moses, what is it that you have? It was a rod. It was just a simple wood. It was a stick. It was just simple. It was ordinary. It was insignificant. You see, brothers and sisters, you see what you have, you might think it's insignificant. You may take ordinary, but God will take the ordinary and do the extraordinary. God will take what's ordinary and do the extraordinary. He will take the simple and make it great. He will turn it around. That's why he says, I will take the foolish things of this world and I will confound the wise. I will take the weak and I will confound the strong and the mighty. God took some ordinary disciples and he turned the world around. He can take you and I, it matter if we are literate or illiterate, but with God, he is the man of all wisdom and understanding, and he can give it to us, for he is the El Shaddai, he's the omnipotent one, he's the omnipresent God, he is the God of all might and power. And when we come, he says, behold, I have given you all power of the world. He says, we have the power of Christ. When you receive the Holy Spirit, he gives us the power. And this morning, you have the power to be successful. Yeah. You have the power to succeed. Amen. You see, God will take ordinary things and to do extraordinary He will take the ordinary to do the extraordinary. The Bible tells us about Samson. You know, this man was a great man in strength and in power. But when the enemy came, what God took and used was a jawbone of an ass, a simple jawbone of an ass. He touched and he took that and he picked it up. But the Bible says that what makes the difference with what you have is the Spirit of God. That is what makes the difference, because the Bible says when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, he took the jawbone of an ass and he killed 1,000 men. You see, brothers and sisters, what we have may not be enough in our hands, but when we give it to him, it becomes something great. It becomes something mighty, because God will use it for his glory and honor. If God can use the donkey to speak to Balaam, then God can use you and I. Amen. But here is the key. What we have in our hands will not do the work until we give it to God. It will not be effective in our hands. What we have in our hands is not effective unless we give it to God. And then he will take it and he will multiply it and it will become effective. Amen. So whatever it is that you have, you give it to God and God is going to amplify it. God is going to multiply it. Amen. God is going to use it to bring glory and honor to his kingdom, to bring glory and honor to his name. God will use it. Hear what the Bible says in verse 4:3. God said, I want you to cast it down, Moses. This rod that you have in your hand, I want you to cast it down. In other words, I want you to give it to me. I want you to lay it at my feet. I want you to surrender it to me. And I will show you what I can do with that thing that looks like it's not worthy, insignificant. I will show you the power that I will give to you, that you can see yourself in the power and the glory of my might, that you can do great and mighty things. God said, lay it down to me. Give it to me. You see, in our own strength, in our own effort, in our own talent, in our own ability, it can only take us to a certain level. I said our own wisdom and knowledge can take us to our only certain level. It will do very little impact. But unless we give it to God, hallelujah, and when we give it to him, he will make it great. He will amplify it. He will bless it. Amen. He will do great things with it. It will become extraordinary. Amen. The talent you have, when we give it to God, it will make it extraordinary. The Bible tells us about the boy with the five loaves and the two fishes. The Bible says what he had in his hands was his lunch meal, and he went to that meeting and he was sitting at the mountain and Jesus was teaching and preaching. And then it came about a time when the people were hungry and they wanted food, and the Bible says that Jesus told the disciple to get food, and he said, all we have here is just this boy with five loaves and two fishes. And the Bible says the disciple says, this is not enough. But Jesus says, give it to me. Hallelujah. You see, this five loaves and two fishes could only feed one. It was only good in the hands of one person. You see, the five loaves and two fishes could only feed the boy. It was only good in his hands for himself. But when he gave it to Jesus, hallelujah, you can't miss this. When he gave it to Jesus and he put what was in his hands, what was his limitation, what wasn't enough, when he took it and he put it in Jesus' hand, and the Bible says he blessed it and he break it and he says, now go distribute it. And the Bible says it fell 5,000 and there were 12 baskets remaining. You see, what we have in our hands, when we give it to Jesus, when we give it to God and we commit it to him, he will bless it, he will multiply it, and it will do great things for God. Amen. Whatever we give God, he will amplify and bless. Amen. For his glory and his honor. Maybe it's your time you have. Maybe it's a gift, a talent. Maybe it's a finance. Whatever you have, how little, how great, you give it to God and allow God to use it for his honor and glory. Give yourself to God and allow God to use you for his honor and his glory. Allow God to use you for his honor and glory. to fulfill your purpose, your calling. We are called to a higher purpose. The Bible says we are called to go out and preach the gospel to the poor, to make disciples of others. That's our calling, to go out and do great things for God. And the fourthly, and I'll close with this, and this should be encouraging to us. The Bible says that God told Moses, now I want you to cast it down. I want you to pick it up. Hallelujah. The Bible says when he cast the rod down, it became a serpent. It became a serpent. And then God said to him, now take it by his tail. And when he took it by the tail, it became a rod. Hallelujah. It became a rod. Here is the lesson. We have the power to succeed in our calling. We have the power to succeed in our calling. Whatever God said, I want you to take it forth by his tail. God was going to prove to Moses that he has the power, that God is going to give him the power. God is going to give him the resources, that he had power over the serpent. In other words, God is saying that serpent that you just, that rod turned into, when you take it by the tail, it will turn back into the rod. In other words, you have power over Pharaoh. You have power over all the powers of the world. You have power to deliver my people because I am giving you the authority. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, you and I have the resources to fulfill our calling in God. We have the resources to fulfill our ministry because our strength comes from God. Amen. Our resources come from God. Amen. Our power come not from within. It comes from above. Our power come not from within ourselves. It comes from God. God has given us everything we need to fulfill our calling. Amen. We have what it takes to fulfill our calling. You see, the Bible says when he said, take it by the tail, because this was a prophetic. Remember in Genesis chapter 3, this word here was for the future. Hallelujah. When Jesus says, for the seed of the woman shall what? Bruise the head of the serpent. Hallelujah. And the serpent shall bruise the tail of Jesus. He shall bruise his heel, sorry. When he says he will crush his head, in other words, Satan is just roaring around with his tail around. Hallelujah. He is just roaring around like a lion with his tail. But Jesus has given us the power over him because he has already crushed his head. He has already defeated Satan. So you and I has the power today. Amen. All Satan has is his tail wagging around, and he is going around with that. Seek him whom he may devour. He has no power over us. For in Christ, we are greater than him. Amen. For in Christ, we are greater than him. And you have to believe this. You have to believe this. The tail cannot hurt us. God said, you're not going to be above. You're not going to be below, but be above. He said, I'll make you the head and not the tail. You're going to be above and not beneath. Brothers and sisters, you have the power. You have the authority of the Holy Spirit to accomplish what God has promised to do and what God will do with you. We have the power. We have the authority. We have whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven, and whatsoever we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. You have the authority. We can just step on Satan and the demon forces of hell in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You have the authority of Jesus. We have the implied authority. Because the Son has given us the implied authority. He has the actual authority. But as a child of God, as a believer of Christ, we have the implied authority of the Father that we can use for his honor and glory. And you are not to be afraid of your task. You're not to be afraid of your calling, because God has equipped us with his power. He has equipped us with the Holy Spirit. We have the word of God, and we can do great things for God. God can take you today, as ordinary as you are, and do the extraordinary with your life. He can do the extraordinary. For no weapon formed against us will prosper. No weapon formed against us will prosper against our calling, against our purpose. For greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. This morning, you have a purpose. You are called with a purpose. You have called to a high calling. You're not an accident this morning. God has called us. Let me close with this. A Danish proverb says, what you are is God's gift to you. What you do to yourself is your gift to God. What you do to yourself is your gift to God. So today, let us give him ourselves. God will use whatever you have and turn it to whatever it needs to be to accomplish and fulfill what you are called to do. God will use whatever you have and turn it to be whatever it needs to be to accomplish and fulfill what you are called to do. This morning, I want you to give your heart to the Lord. Surrender your will today. Surrender to him today and allow him to use you for his honor and glory. Don't say that you're not worthy. Don't say that you're incapable. Don't say that I am not of my past. Don't make excuses. Say I'm not a good communicator. God can use you. God can use you. God can use you. Here Russell Keffler says, you are a reason for a season, a reason for a reason. You are here for a reason. You are part of God's intricate plan. You are precious and perfect. Unique design. God called special man and woman. You look like you are here for a reason. Our God, make no mistake. He knit you together within his womb. You are just what he wanted to make. The parents you had were not one that he chose, were the one he chose. And no matter how you feel, they were custom designed with God's plan in mind and bear the master's seals.